Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Tuesday edition of the program here on Thanksgiving week. So glad to have you with us today. Let's take a quick look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our opening segment and some Zaxby's headlines. So top news of the day in IU and Southern Indiana sports coming up here in just a few moments. Also later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins. That's segment two. And then we'll wrap things up today in segment three with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. And that's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take it to go, and curbside service. It's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Well, last night I was listening to the Archie Miller radio show here on the Big X. It was the first of the season, and so I don't listen every single week, but I do try to listen when I can, and I've said this for many reasons, because we don't hear from Archie Miller that much, especially in the off season. Some programs, Louisville, Kentucky, come to mind. They have somewhat regular press conferences. Their coaches are more active. Coach Mack at UofL, more active on social media, put some stuff up there from time to time. We just don't get that much with Archie. Now, we did more this offseason because of the pandemic, and I'm assuming there was more downtime and he just was more interested in doing some podcasts with national college basketball people and other things like that. So we did get to hear and learn more about him and what he's up to in the offseason than normal. But the first coach's show of the year is always a big deal to me. I think it would be for any coach, because you get to learn from the coach what's getting ready to happen or what they are seeing as they approach normally their first game of the season. So a lot of things were said, very interesting things, because when Archie speaks, you listen. He just doesn't have that much to say. And so when he's there for 30 minutes, 40 minutes with Don Fisher, it's just kind of must-listen-to material, and we carry all the shows each week here on the Big X. But I heard him say something about the season, about how crazy the schedules could be, would be this season, and that they were hopeful that Tennessee Tech could get up here. Something along those lines. Hopeful they would make it. Hopeful they could get up here on Wednesday night for Indiana's opening game of the season. And so I kind of started wondering, I wonder if there's an issue or a potential issue brewing there, because we saw so many college basketball teams yesterday that announced some positive tests, whether it was a coach or a player. We even saw some teams get to their site where they're supposed to play and then find out there during the testing there was a positive with someone and the team isn't going to be able to play. I'm thinking of Stephen F. Austin, who was supposed to be, I think they play San Francisco, it was supposed to, 11 a.m. tomorrow, which would be the first of the season, the first college hoops game of this upcoming season. So I was in contact with somebody at Tennessee Tech and just checked in and just happened to be the right person at the right time. And they told me that Coach Pelfrey, who's John Pelfrey, played at Kentucky, has coached a number of places, including the head coach at Arkansas and now at Tennessee Tech. Good guy, good family, know the Pelfrey family fairly well, especially John's brother Jerry, but was told that Coach Pell has coronavirus, has just tested positive for coronavirus, and would not be making the trip to Bloomington on Wednesday night. And the person at Tennessee Tech went as far as to tell me that Marcus King, who is one of the assistant coaches on the Tennessee Tech roster, would be the acting head coach for the game on Wednesday night. So I put that up on Twitter, and then madness ensued, because I think a lot of people felt like, and a lot of you that listened, I heard from last night, why, if the coach has it, what are the chances that a player has it? What if a test doesn't catch it? And then Indiana comes down with a positive case or two or an outbreak and can't go to the Maui Invitational in Asheville, North Carolina, which I think we all agree is much more important to helping this Indiana team get ready for this tough Big Ten season coming up than a, I don't want to call it an exhibition game, but a bye game against Tennessee Tech. So we found out Coach Pelfrey not making the trip, but as of now, IU still confirming that the game is on for Wednesday night. There are some testing protocols that these teams agree to where they've got to be tested a number of days leading up to the game. This is for non-Big Ten schools because they are really setting the standard right now as far as their requirements for coronavirus testing. And I believe Tennessee Tech has to get tested even at Indiana once they arrive on, I believe, sometime today, later today, for Wednesday night's game. So, crazy time in college basketball. We've said this. It's like a broken record every day when we talk about some of the happenings that are going on or the games that have been canceled or the teams that have had to pause their basketball activities. But it hit home yesterday that, you know, you think, gosh, what if Tennessee Tech does play? What if there is something that's not caught by this testing? And then Indiana's out for 2 weeks, and of course fans are, no, we don't want to miss the Maui Invitational, and obviously that's going to be a fun few days of basketball. But at the rate we're going, with teams dropping and pausing and having to go home and games canceled and postponed, who knows exactly if all the Maui teams, the eight teams in that event, can all get there safe and healthy and with no positives, or if the Maui Invitational has a team or two, at least they think, in their back pocket as a replacement, because the rate we're going through teams here, I would be shocked to see all eight get there, get there healthy. Let's hope it happens. But just amazing, the storylines, the news coming out just a day before the games now in college basketball. So, and then you think about IU football, and they have a game against Maryland, who's been fairly competitive this season, but missed their last two games because they had a coronavirus outbreak of their own. Yesterday, Coach Allen saying during his Monday presser that he thinks everything from what they've been told in Indiana is scheduled to be a go for this weekend with Maryland. So it sounds like they are getting things back reasonable again. And based on the Big Ten guidelines, we'll be able to play football this weekend. But again, you're looking at IU's basketball game Wednesday kind of up in the air in a sense. And then the football game, you hope it's played, but we really don't have confirmation that it's going to be. So this right here just underscores, again, what a crazy season it's going to be and how this can affect your own team as well. Because knock on wood, so far, Indiana fans, they're really, except for the preseason, before we got to the start of practice, there really haven't been any problems to speak of with Indiana as far as keeping their teams on the field, on the court, in practice from a basketball standpoint. And so we'll see what happens, and we'll see ultimately if Wednesday night, Tennessee Tech, that game does happen. But I believe they're scheduled to get to Bloomington this afternoon. They've got testing. I want to think that they have to get tested 3 days in a row before the game, leading up to the game. So I don't know if IU does the testing Tuesday if they arrive in Bloomington, or if Indiana just does the testing on game day, or exactly how that process works. But nonetheless, that's what we know. Coach Pelfrey will not be leading his team in the opener, but as of now, no other positive coronavirus test within the Tennessee Tech program. So we'll see how this plays out. But interesting times. And this stuff does, as a fan, I'm sure as Archie Miller, as IU people think about it, make you kind of think twice, because you need to play. You really want to get that game in against Tennessee Tech before you hit the Maui, but you want to stay healthy. You got to protect your guys. They're going through a lot of testing, a lot of precautions. Indiana, the Big Ten Conference, leading the way, putting a lot of money up at this stuff, and you don't want to see it unravel because a player slips in that had contact with his coach. And, you know, we don't know the last day that Coach Pelfrey was in practice with those guys, but if they just announced his positive test yesterday, you would think that he could have been in practice yesterday or the day before at the very latest with his team. So who knows how this will play out, but that's an interesting start to the IU season, and we'll see ultimately if the Wednesday night game is canceled or if it is played. Let's take a look at the Zaxby's headlines for today, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I mentioned this, the first college hoops game of the season, 11 a.m. tomorrow. I was going to watch it while I did the show for our Wednesday program. It was Stephen F. Austin and San Francisco. They were going to play at Mohegan Sun, but Stephen F. Austin is leaving the facility because someone in the traveling party tested positive, according to Jeff Goodman. Now, I saw someone else report that it wasn't a player or a coach. It was like a support staff person, but one positive and you're out as far as this stuff goes. And so that 11 a.m. game will not tip off to start the college basketball year. We'll have to wait a little later into the afternoon, I should say, for the season to begin. The good thing is the season is going to get underway tomorrow. There's a lot of games over the next few days, including the Thanksgiving holiday, and I'm sure that we'll see and hear about more cancellations and changes, but we're going to get some basketball one way or the other. And if you were judging college basketball and the success of it and what they could do moving forward with non-conference in December and with the conference starting up, depending on the conference, later in December, definitely in January, if you were judging things by this first few days of the season and the days leading up to the season, you might be cautious right now if the season could carry on based on the number of teams that are pausing, dropping out, being put on hold, postponing or canceling their games. Because if it continued like this, it would just get so haphazardous that how would you even get a minimum number of games in? But hopefully there's some stability once this stuff begins, especially once you get to conference play where everyone is on the same mode as far as what they're doing for precautions and for testing and daily antigen testing and things like that as well. Rick Bozich of WDRB had an interesting story yesterday, really bragging on Tom Allen, talking about how he is building more than just a football program at Indiana and that he is building a brand. And he goes on to talk about people. Some have Indiana connections, some don't, but national people, Tony Dungy, Chris Fowler from ESPN, Booger McFarlane, Mark Cuban, others that have, you know, national prominence that are giving him some love, giving Coach Allen some love. He wrote this, though. I thought this was interesting, and I'd love to hear some feedback from you guys. He said, quote, "In a time when the IU men's basketball program has gone through 4 years of blah, Allen has people talking about Indiana football. Basketball can wait. Basketball will start this season in the considerable shadow of IU football." I'm curious, IU basketball fans, IU fans in general, do you feel that IU basketball will be in the shadow of IU football this year? And has IU football, with the start, including their performance in the loss on Saturday, deserved to kind of take the prime seat at Indiana right now, at least as the sports overlap here in the month of December, at least? And depending on what happens with bowls and what bowl Indiana goes to, if they go to a New Year bowl or a bowl after the New Year in January, it could drag out where there's lots of Indiana excitement. And again, if Indiana continues to win, if they won out the rest of the way, Indiana football is going to be a huge deal in the national rankings, in bowl discussions, and they're going to dominate a lot of the coverage. But I'm curious, IU fans, how you feel. Is IU football in the driver's seat? Is IU basketball in the shadow right now, and should it be that way? But interesting line there, I thought, in Rick Bozich's story yesterday on WDRB.com. And speaking of all this testing and coronavirus problems, the Big Ten, from everything I read, they are doing daily testing, daily antigen testing on players, on coaches, on support staff, on anyone in the team's, I guess, tier one bubble, the most immediate contacts for all of those people. And I read a story yesterday that they're obviously testing referees and that they've basically hired a pool of 15 or so referees to do all the Big Ten games. So they are committed to the conference and not crisscrossing across the country. Some referees have agreements with multiple conferences, so they might do a Duke game on a Monday and then do an Indiana game on a Wednesday or a Thursday. The better referees, a lot of times, you see have agreements with better conferences, with multiple high major conferences. So, and of course, as you go down the food chain in college basketball, some referees at the mid to lower levels, they have agreements with a lot of different places. They're doing games sometime 3, 4, 5 nights a week when the travel isn't as far and it's more regional competition. But it sounds like from what we know so far, the Big Ten is doing and setting the standard maybe with coronavirus policies and testing and procedures and hiring a pool of officials committed to the Big Ten Conference only that are following all of their guidelines and that are getting the daily testing and all the other things going on as well. Seems right now to make a whole bunch of sense. And so I say that. Let's hope that we don't find out today or tomorrow there's a rash of Big Ten teams that are going to have to pause or won't be able to open the season this week as they are scheduled. But so far, the Big Ten, again, with what they've done organizationally to prepare for this season, has been impressive, even compared, I think, to other high major conferences. They had some mistakes in football. We know that. They bobbled some things in football. But so far, it looks like a real effort to at least try to mitigate as many issues as possible. It's not going to be perfect. We know there are going to be some problems. There are problems popping up everywhere, no matter the level of testing and money they're throwing at this thing. But so far, the Big Ten, I do think, a leader in what's going on with coronavirus testing. A couple other quick notes. Two recruiting notes to close out this opening segment. 2021 target Mason Miller last night announced on social media that he has, in fact, picked the Creighton Blue Jays over the Indiana Hoosiers. 6'9" forward from Germantown, Tennessee. He will not go to Indiana. We've thought the last week or so that Creighton was likely the location for him that would land him, and that ultimately is the case. So Indiana's 2020 run recruiting class, it's really good with Logan Duncombe, but it remains thin. And the number of players that they've really been in on for a long time, really down to just Aminu Muhammad, and his decision could be coming any time as well. So let's see what happens with that, and possibly are there some other names that Indiana is beginning to search for, get involved with, that maybe we don't know yet that are still on the board in the 2021 class. And one other note, Purdue, with another commitment last night, Foster Lawyer, his brother, Foster, plays for Penn State. And I didn't even know this until the last few weeks, but Fletcher Lawyer moved from Michigan, where the family lived, I believe, last spring, to Fort Wayne. And Fletcher Lawyer is going to attend Homestead this year. So they have a Purdue commit and a Illinois commit now on the Homestead team. And that's why, as they come out in some of these preseason polls, you're going to see Homestead be a top five or top 10 for a program in the state of Indiana. But Lawyer, a 2022 pickup for Purdue, as Matt Painter seems to be on a real roll as far as recruiting goes. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Plenty coming your way. Stay with us. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us in this segment on Tuesdays. And Greg, as we see everything unfolding this week, just saw that Stephen F. Austin actually arrived at the site to play games. They were supposed to be the 11 a.m. first college hoops game of the season tomorrow against San Francisco. One of their support personnel tested positive for coronavirus, so now the team has to turn around and go home. Are we going to get this thing tipped off? I think the answer is yes, but I'm not going to be surprised at all if we have lots more postponements and cancellations coming up, even for games set for this weekend.
Well, the biggest question, Matt, is what does Dabo Swinney think about Stephen F. Austin? Because Dabo Swinney isn't having it. He's not having your science. He's not having your doctors. He's not having trying to avoid the spread. Dabo Swinney is all about Dabo Swinney. Now, don't be fooled by the golly gee shucks and you know all the faithful talk he has. Dabo's all about Dabo. And Clemson fans are all about Dabo, too, so they don't see it, of course. It's kind of like, here's what's amazing. Tennessee, and I've used this example with you, I know, a few times, as an example of how sports fans, we all see what's happening. We all see it unless it's our guy, and then we don't see it, right? So when Lane Kiffin was an absolute fool at Tennessee, an absolute fool, the whole country saw it and hated him. Tennessee fans loved him until he left them high and dry for the Oakland Raiders, and they hated him too. It's just how it goes. You know, we can all see a fool unless he's our fool, and then we don't see it at all. Clemson, so about Tennessee, their football team stinks, which is as it should be, but it stinks. And so Tennessee fans are clamoring for Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze got fired at Ole Miss for cheating and, you know, just being a horrible person. But the kind of horrible person, an absolute Pharisee, holds a Bible up for everybody to see. And then behind the Bible, while you're looking at John 3:16, he's cheating. And he got caught. Like, this isn't maybe. That's who he is. But Tennessee fans are like, we want Hugh Freeze. And I'm thinking, did you idiots not learn anything from Lane Kiffin? You want a guy that the whole world sees as a fool, but as long as he's your fool, he's going to be okay? So anyway, Dabo Swinney is Clemson's fool, and they can have him. To answer your question, we're going to have a whole lot of cancellations this year, obviously. It's just the way it's going to be. The thing about basketball is, unlike in football, where we've had teams have a player tested positive here or there, and the team will continue to play, they just leave guys behind. I mean, every week there's an inactive list. And the inactive list is, you know, three or four guys that have COVID, but they feel like no one else has it, so they can play. In basketball, it's such a small little group of guys, and they're all in close contact. Like contact tracing, the whole team, they're all, you know, if one of them gets it, they all need to be quarantined because that's just how basketball is. We all know that. So there's going to be a ton of cancellations in basketball. We'll get the season. The question is, how many teams will be eligible for the tournament? I forget what the number is, but is it 16 or 18? Whatever the number of games you got to play this year to be tournament eligible, we might see a mad rush of, like, last-minute replacement games just so teams can get that number in.
Yeah, and I thought it maybe – is it 13 or is it more than that?
It might be 13. Yeah. It's a weird number, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. When coaches a few weeks ago, when all this was being talked about a minimum number of games, there were coaches complaining and some of these college basketball insiders reporting that coaches were concerned they could even get to that number. And again, I think it was 13. And I thought at the time, you know, 13 games, they're going to play 18, 20, 22 in conference, most conferences at least. And I know there's chances for cancellations and postponements and all sorts of changes, but I thought, you know, surely we'll get to 13 games. But with everything that's transpired just in the last, I don't know, 48 hours or so, and even since I've been on the air, I saw, I don't know, Utah Valley or Utah State or someone else's paused. It seems like every hour you learn of another team that's on pause right now in college hoops. But you do start to wonder if that will be, what you said, a concern to get the minimum number of games in to be eligible for the NCAA tournament. And, of course, as I mentioned in the opening segment, last night we found out that this has kind of hit closer to home because Tennessee Tech's coach John Pelfrey is not making the trip with his team. And as soon as I tweeted that out, Greg, all sorts of people responding, a lot of Indiana fans saying, don't play the game. Why are we playing these non-conference games? Or why are we playing Tennessee Tech when Maui Invitational is the next thing up for this team? So going to be interesting to see, A, if the game actually gets played, more testing to be done today and, of course, on the day of the game as well, to find out if any players have the virus or turn up positive with the virus. But it is kind of a tough situation, I think, if you're Indiana. You've been practicing. You want to get ready for the season. You've got a very tough few days of games ahead very soon at the Maui Invitational in Asheville. So you really need to get this warm-up game in, but if there's any chance of it shelving your Maui opportunities, is it worth playing? And that's what fans seem to be yelling a little bit about.
Yeah, and by the time tip-off rolls around Wednesday night, they ought to know. They ought to know because Tennessee Tech players got tested yesterday. They'll get tested again today, and they'll even be tested tomorrow in Bloomington. I don't know exactly how long you can have the coronavirus and still test negative for it. You know, I don't know how long it takes. I'm sure it's not instant, but surely 48 hours is enough. So I don't think there will be any risk to IU players from this game itself. But, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, we found out last night, and you said it very humbly, like, we found out last night that the Rams beat the, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks. And we found out yesterday that Dabo Swinney's an absolute fool. you found out last night. Like, you broke that news, and I realize you can't reveal your sources and whatnot, but can you put Les behind? You always ask me to Les behind the curtain. Can you let me behind the curtain? How'd you do that?
Well,
where'd that come from?
Well, first off, and this has nothing to do with me breaking the news, but the Pelfrey family, I really like, and I know a little bit, and I really know John's brother, Jerry, Travis Ford. Of course, many people that listen know all the basketball stuff I do away from radio, and Travis Ford's father, Eddie, who's, you know, in some ways like a second father to me and really helped me with a lot of things over the years. Of course, Travis and John played together at Kentucky, and then Jerry Pelfrey was an assistant at one of Travis's, or his first Division I job at Eastern Kentucky, and I was much younger then and was around all the time for practices and games and continued to follow Travis to UMass. And of course, when he got to Oklahoma State, I had to curtail all my traveling because it just seemed to be busier with work and different things. But so that was the connection there. I was working to get Coach Pelfrey lined up for this radio show on Wednesday sometime, especially early in the year. We'll have some of the non-conference opponent head coaches on, and, you know, what's your thoughts about coming to Bloomington, playing in Assembly Hall? And with a little connection there, I wanted to make sure we got Coach Pell. And I just happened to get the email from the guy at the right time that said, you know, he's not going to be doing interviews. In fact, he's not going to be coaching this week because he has the coronavirus, and here's who's going to be coaching instead. So kind of just right place, right time. And when I tweeted that, I guess now I know what it's like to be Greg Doyle on Twitter with, I have 8,000-9,000 followers. You have, 30, 40, 50, maybe more thousand followers. As soon as I tweeted that, the replies and the madness that ensued as far as people giving their opinion and talking about whether Indiana should go on to play the game or not was crazy. I finally had to turn my notifications off. My phone was going to die, and I was trying to get some sleep.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a minute, about how, first of all, I do want to say that my follower number is at 101,000.
Oh, I was way off. Wow.
You were, but that's okay. It'll be whatever number you said. It'll be there eventually. All it's doing is shrinking. it is. It's weird. It's really weird. I was at a high of 108, and then Twitter got rid of all these bots, the Russian bots, whatever, and everybody lost a bunch of numbers. And I went from 108 to 105. I gradually went back to 108, and then the year 2020 happened, and social injustice. And I try not to be overtly political. Like, you and I have talked on the air, and I think it's pretty clear probably where I stand, and it's very, very, very clear that wherever I stand, you know, I'm really passionate about it. Like, I've got real strong feelings about whatever it is I think. And I've tried not to do that to people because they're not, you know, if I'm on your follow list, you're not coming to me for anything but the sports. But every now and then I write about sports and politics. You can't avoid it. And anyway, I've lost 6,000 followers. We are in a red state. I probably don't lean a whole lot of red, so I'm down to 101. It's sinking, and it just kind of discourages me for humanity. Like, are you guys so soft that you can't stand that I actually write about, you know, I don't know, Colin Kaepernick, and maybe he had the right to take a knee. Like, and you're just going to not follow and maybe not read. Are you that soft and silly? But let's talk about your Twitter feed and how I love what you say is that everybody wanted to give their opinion. And that is the beauty of social media. And if I was not a sports writer, if I followed my dad and was a lawyer, I'm sure I'd love being on social media, and here's what I think about this. Holy cow, let me write this. But people need to understand there's two sides to this. There's that side. If I were, or you were, whoever, if you're a lawyer or a plumber or a grocery man, whatever, you want to give your opinion, and that's great, and that's what I would do too if I was in that role. However, I'm not, and you're not. And so sitting on this side of the aisle, it's not like one person wants to give their opinion. It's everybody wants to give their opinion, and at a certain point, it becomes nauseating because, like, wait a minute, if one of you wants to tell me what you think, I get that, I get it. But do you understand that there's 5,000 of you telling me? And at some point, it's just like, I hate it. Like, I don't want to hear from 5,000 people, and especially if all of you are mad at me or mad at whatever the topic is, and like, you're not, and you're all writing your opinion, and I'd be doing it too, again, if I was a lawyer. But everybody's writing their opinion like they know exactly what they're talking about, and they're right. And like, someone's going to read that tweet and go, wow, you know what, this anonymous person from wherever, this person's really smart. No, you're not. You're not. You don't know any more than anybody else. And if you don't know Dabo Swinney's a fool, then you don't know anything at all. So the whole thing just drives me nuts. It drives me nuts, but I, again, will repeat one more time that if I were in another line of work, I'd be driving somebody like you nuts.
And just to laugh just a little further, then we'll get back to sports here, back to basketball. But I think until maybe 1 a.m. or so, 1:30 in the morning, I would bzz, every so often, bzz, and finally I had to turn them off, because ultimately when all the news died down and everybody got their opinions out, there were two guys, and I have no idea who they are if they listen to this
going
show.
Going back and forth.
Yeah, and they're going back and forth about Dr. Fauci and then some other coronavirus expert, and they each of them was a fraud, according to each per. You know,
Jesus, was so. Dabo Swinney one of them? I mean, really, seriously, was he one of them?
So,
I'm sure Dabo Swinney thinks Dr. Fauci knows nothing about anything. By the way, you and Travis Ford, I'm guessing in high school, had about the same body. So, do you look at Travis Ford and his career and how many points he scored and how great he was, and all that, and his love for basketball? And look at yours, and what a disappointment you are.
Travis Ford is an unbelievable story. I'm younger than him, as close as I am with his family. But, you know, I obviously remember him at UK fairly well, but I don't remember his high school days. But I've went back and been able to find, and his dad had some footage and stuff. But what he got done with his small frame –
He scored a million points in high school.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, and he and Archie Miller, I mean, they were the same guy. In high school, they were the same guy. Archie Miller scored a million points because he could shoot from 50 feet. I mean, he would cross half court, and he's in shooting range. And that was Travis Ford. They were the same guy. And, even the same kind of role, roly-poly body, and they've all become head coaches. And look at you, Matt Dennison, talking to me. I mean, what a disappointment. I mean, I'm disappointed in you. All you can do now is talk to me? You didn't go anywhere.
I'll tell you what, one thing that I'm sad about, this coronavirus is taking away so much, whether it's events or holiday stuff or sports or whatever. But one of the favorite things to do, and I've just been busier the last few years and haven't got to go multiple days, but it's to go to the King of the Bluegrass, which is in Louisville, kind of on the outskirts in Fairdale. It's a holiday tournament that's one of the original in the country. Lloyd Gardner, who he comes on this show occasionally. Of course, there's no King of the Bluegrass this year because Kentucky high school basketball is postponed to start until January 4th, so you're going to lose all the holiday tournaments. And it was already cut back. It was only going to be 8 teams, and I don't think there were any out-of-state teams coming this year. But over the years, it's been great. And I've seen so many wonderful players, a lot of UofL, UK recruits, a lot of great Kentucky players. Indiana teams have never been able to play because of just some different rules that don't allow that to happen. But the reason I bring this up is because of all the great performances that I've seen there, and they bring in teams from California and all over the place, there's not the rules like there are here in Indiana. I always am reminded by Pinky Gardner, Lloyd Gardner, to look in that program that he's so proud of, that they keep all the records of that wonderful tournament in, and Travis Ford is the all-time leading scorer there. I forget if it's 40 or 50 points or 60 points. It's something crazy, and that just reminds me that Travis, who's a pretty good coach, I think, was maybe even a better scorer and player when he was in high school.
Big time. He was a big time. McDonald's All-American, perhaps, but yeah, it's fun how you look at these guys on the sideline and folks that don't know, especially younger folks, why would they know? Have no idea. Especially if you look at Archie Miller, you'd have no idea. But he was something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, let's close with IU basketball. Actually, let's close with IU football. We've talked enough basketball. Tom Allen getting all sorts of love. This has been kind of a season-long affair so far. Indiana, it looked dicey for a little bit. They make a nice close to the game, very respectable. Had Ohio State a little nervous there at the end. Indiana's getting all sorts of love. Coach Allen getting all sorts of love from national media, from players, from everyone. This Indiana football season, no matter what happens from this point forward, I think this is going to change the ability for Indiana to recruit and the type of player they're able to get somewhat often because of all this opportunity that Coach Allen's had on the forefront.
Gosh, all he's got to do is point to a future quarterback and say, look at Michael Penix. Look at him. He threw for 490-something yards against Ohio State. You come here, you can do that too. A great receiver wants to come here, like, you know, of an eventual Rondale Moore type wants to come here. You look at Ty Freifogel and how he had a three-week stretch he's in the middle of right now where he's got more yards than anybody in the country for the last 3 games. And look at the defensive side of the ball. Jamar Johnson is going to be in the NFL. Jerome Johnson, defensive line, he's going to be in the NFL. Yeah, he's – games like this and like playing Tennessee with those idiots that want Hugh Freeze in the Gator Bowl or wherever the hell they were playing last year, all that does is elevate the recruiting profile of a guy who doesn't need a lot of help. I mean, Tom Allen is his own recruiting, you know, momentum. Just when he walks into your living room, parents love him, kids love him, and he's clearly the real deal. I mean, if there was ever any doubt, there certainly wasn't before the Ohio State game. But I mean, he's such a real deal that in the offseason, IU, in a pandemic when no one's making any money at all, but schools like Michigan don't need, you know, they're going to make money no matter what, somebody's going to come after Tom Allen. And I don't know if it'll be Michigan, but because Michigan might go after Pat Fitzgerald. But the question is, will Tom stay or go? You know, Jeff Brohm every year has suitors, and he had turned down Louisville. Tom Allen's going to have to turn down somebody this offseason because he's going to be the name on the list, you know, and he'll – and I suspect he will turn down. He's a Newcastle guy, and he believes in IU and all this. I suspect, just like I thought Jeff Brohm would turn down Louisville, and people thought I was a homer, but I just kind of, knowing Jeff a little bit, I kind of thought, no, he's going to stay. I think Tom will stay, too. Everybody has a price tag, including me, and even if you don't think you have a price tag, you see you get enough number zeros into that number. Turns out I did have a price tag. I didn't even know it. So we will see if he gets money whipped. But if you're IU football, you want a coach that everybody wants. Because that's the only way you're going to turn it around. Like Duke football, the only reason they turned it around 25 years ago is they found Steve Spurrier. The only reason IU football is turning around right now is they found Tom Allen. So you want that guy, and then you just hope he sticks around, and I suspect he will.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for the chat today.
Hugh Freeze and Dabo Swinney walk into a bar and order something, and I don't care what they order because I left the bar because I'm not hanging around those two fools.
Greg, I'll see you. Greg, thank you. Thank you. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us. Always fun when Greg joins the program. We'll head to a commercial break, and as we do, the Indianapolis Star and our friend Kyle Medenrip put out his top five candidates for Mr. Basketball as the boys' season gets underway this week. I think you'll know most of the candidates. Luke Brown at Blackford, who is committed to Stetson, by the way, going to play at New Albany coming up in a few weeks, or at least scheduled to. Caleb First, Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, headed to Purdue. Trey Kaufman, of course, locally from Silver Creek. Wouldn't it be nice to see another Mr. Basketball from Southern Indiana? He's a Purdue recruit as well. Pierce Thomas at Brownsburg. He might be the most underrated name on that list, maybe the most unknown name on that list as well. And rounding out the top five for Mr. Basketball, according to Kyle, Blake Wesley of South Bend Riley, who just recently committed to stay in his hometown of South Bend and play at Notre Dame. We'll head to a break. We're back with Mike Pegram. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday edition of the program. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com joins us as we talk IU basketball in this segment. And, Mike, I want to start off with Wednesday. We've talked some in this program about John Pelfrey, the coach at Tennessee Tech, who is positive for coronavirus. He won't make the trip to Bloomington. There's testing today and obviously Wednesday as well for both teams in advance of the game. And your thoughts on ultimately, does this game happen? I mean, I'm guessing if there are no positives that we have a game on Wednesday night. But with the Maui Invitational looming for Indiana and what a great few days of basketball that could be to get ready for the Big Ten season, does Indiana roll the dice? What if a test isn't accurate? What if there's a positive that doesn't show up? Do you think we have basketball Wednesday night in Assembly Hall?
Well, let's see what happens today. But I think if even if there's just one positive test from a player from Tennessee Tech, that game shouldn't be played. And, you know, I would have some doubts whether it should be played anyway with just the coach being positive. Because those three games, you know, you can knock out three games in 3 days against quality opponents in this kind of a year where it's going to be tough to get those games in. You don't want to necessarily risk that. But I can understand wanting to get a game under your belt especially with, you know, wanting to get your freshmen some, get their feet wet before you have a really tough matchup with Providence on Monday. So my expectation is that they'll still play as long as there's zero player positives from Tennessee Tech. And, of course, Indiana gets through their own testing.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, joining us. If the game is played, looking at Tennessee Tech's profile from last season, what they have back and where they're at, it shouldn't be much of a game. Obviously, we think Indiana has a chance to be pretty good, but this is one of those bye games where Tennessee Tech gets some money to come play. In a normal season, they would get some great experiences to play at Assembly Hall and, of course, play in front of a big fan base. That stuff won't be the case this year, but still, nonetheless, it should be a bye game, where a typical bye-type game where Tennessee Tech gets the experience, Indiana ultimately gets the win and the chance to experiment a little bit.
Yeah, I think that was part of the strategy with scheduling them, just kind of get a game that you wouldn't necessarily lose if you had a lot of rust and all that. But you do want to get some guys some playing time and maybe have some guys earn a starting job for that Asheville trip.
I've programmed myself to say when Indiana plays at the Maui in Asheville, I've got to add in Asheville afterwards, because it still doesn't make any damn sense. But nonetheless, that's where we're at this season. So Wednesday night, the opener for Indiana. Of course, we'll have the game here on the Big X. I do want to close the last few minutes we have together of this program and talk about recruiting, because for the first time maybe in Archie Miller's tenure, I get the feeling that there are some Indiana fans that are antsy about recruiting, because the 2021 class currently only has one player committed and signed in Logan Duncombe, although he's a good one. And Indiana's missed out recently on Trey Kaufman. Also, Purdue gets another commit last night. I know it was a player that Indiana wasn't necessarily recruiting. And then, of course, last night the big recruiting miss was Mason Miller from Tennessee. He announced, as we kind of thought, he was going to go to Creighton and spurn Indiana. So what's up with these recruiting misses lately? And when you think about all of Archie Miller's recruiting successes so far, shouldn't fans just kind of chill out about recruiting misses here lately and let this thing play out?
Yeah, you're going to have an off year every once in a while in the recruiting, and they did pick up a pretty solid big man in Logan Duncombe, and they still have plenty of time to rectify it with, you know, maybe a Minnow Muhammad or a transfer, because the transfer market, like we've talked here on the show before, is going to be much different than in years past. But, it wasn't good news to lose both those two players. I mean, they were very similar players in Mason Miller and Trey Kaufman, and it looked like a good backup plan for Indiana with Mason Miller, but it just didn't happen. So, it's going to be difficult, because Trace Jackson Davis may be in his final year, and you want to kind of feed in another really high-level guy there. But, Indiana just means they have to do really well from this 2022 class, and I think bringing in Kenya Hunter will help in that regard.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, other recruiting notes to mention: with Miller off the board, with Kaufman to Purdue, I guess is the next player up as far as to see if Indiana is able to pull him in or not, land him or not, I would think Aminu Muhammad, as far as players that Indiana has spent considerable time recruiting. And it sounds like, according to his Guardian, you guys have followed that recruitment very closely if you're a PEG subscriber, it sounds like that recruitment could come to an end really at any time. Any thoughts, any movement there? And what if Indiana misses on him? Where does Archie Miller and staff turn after that?
Yeah, they very well could miss on him. That's really kind of a wild card recruitment, where it's really hard to get a handle on anybody being a favorite. The decision may be about a month away. Maybe just before Christmas, but I wouldn't be surprised if it got pushed a little bit farther than that. But right now, the timetable is kind of roughly mid-December. We'll see. I think the news that Purdue had picked up a 2022 guard will actually help Indiana, in that they might be easier to land C.J. Gunn from Lawrence North. There's a really good two-guard, really came on this summer, and somebody that might be predisposed to just staying in state, and now Indiana might be in great shape. I think they they were in great shape to begin with, but even better shape now.
Talking to Mike Pegram. Final recruiting note today, since we're talking heavy recruiting, we might as well ask this as well. Tay Davis, he's at Warren Central now after playing at Lawrence Central for a number of years. His father, the head coach now at Warren Central, so he transferred there. He's set to make his decision soon. I think it's this weekend after the Thanksgiving holiday. Indiana, Purdue, both in the mix for him, but so is Louisville and some other schools. His brother is at U of L right now. There seems like with Miller, there was that underground, hey, he's going to go to Creighton feeling. There seems to be a real chance he could end up at Louisville and Indiana could miss on another in-state guy. Do you get that same feeling, and any thoughts on where Davis may commit to coming up?
Yeah, I made one of my rare crystal ball picks there, and I picked Louisville. Just sounds like that's where he wants to go. And I think Indiana is, like we're just talking about C.J. Gunn, who's a similar player. That seems to be where the guy that Indiana really likes at that position from that class. And they're you know, just a mile apart there in the Lawrence area, so they're good rivals, and I think that's what's going to play out.
All right, Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you again very soon.
All right, Matt. Take care.
And that's just about going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. A couple reminders. If you like this program, if you listen live, you listen on a podcast, don't forget you can find us as a podcast. If you missed the radio show, we're available on Apple Podcast, also SoundCloud, and really most any place where you may listen to podcasts, you can find the Hoosier Report there as well. So just search for the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us connect with other Indiana fans and people interested in our show about Southern Indiana sports. And have a happy Thanksgiving. High school basketball gets underway. There's a couple games with some of our local teams tomorrow night, a couple on Wednesday, New Albany, Clarksville. I understand tickets are going to be available at the door for that. It's actually a home game for Clarksville, but will be played at New Albany on Wednesday night. So if you want to see a high school game to begin the season and you feel comfortable getting out, get to New Albany early, get you a ticket for that Wednesday night game. We're planning to have New Albany Bloomington South on the radio Saturday night. We've just got so much play-by-play coming up here over the next few days with Indiana basketball, Indiana football, some Purdue stuff, Western Kentucky, and high school football championships. We'll have a lot of those on Friday and maybe some Saturday as well. Just a busy time, but we're going to try to get out to New Albany on Saturday night and bring you the Bloomington South game here on the radio. I'll be back Wednesday. That will wrap the week up for us tomorrow, so make sure you join us then. And maybe we'll find out more today about this IU-Tennessee Tech game and how the testing goes today, and ultimately if the game is going to be played on Wednesday night, which we will also carry here on the Big X with the legendary Don Fisher. Catch you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.